This is the Voice of America broadcasting worldwide the flight of Apollo 16, man's fifth visit to the moon. Today, the launch of the spacecraft and its crew from Complex 39 at Cape Kennedy, Florida. The 12-day mission to the Descartes Highland area of the moon and back to Earth will be carried out by astronauts John Young, mission commander, Ken Mattingly, command module pilot, and Charles Duke, lunar module pilot. Liftoff is scheduled for 17 hours 54 GMT, about 23 minutes from now. For a progress report on countdown and a description of the Apollo 16 launch, we take you to VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner at Cape Kennedy.
The countdown clock says 23 minutes and 5 seconds right now, and it is counting, and it looks like the launch may go on time. As you may have heard on a news report just a little earlier, there's been a problem with a backup gyro system in the Saturn V rocket, and apparently it has been isolated to ground equipment. Otherwise, that countdown wouldn't be continuing as it is at this point. It's been one of the smoothest countdowns ever in an Apollo launch, according to the launch officials and their reports to us yesterday. In fact, the air is one of good feeling throughout all of the engineers and the technicians whom we have seen and talked to here at Cape Kennedy. The delay of 1 month on this launch actually gave them more time to resolve all sorts of things. And so it has been a beautifully smooth countdown. That's not to say perfect. None of them are. When you have several million parts and instruments, you're always going to have to double check a few of them and change one or two parts at the last minute. And that has happened on this flight as it has happened on all others. The backup gyro system is in the Saturn V rocket. It is part of the instrument unit which guides the big Saturn V up and away from the Earth and into orbit. There is the primary system, and it's got to work. This backup system also is counted upon before you commit from the Earth. However, if it went out after you got into space, you know, after committal, then you'd have the primary system to go. But there's no chance, there's no taking of the chance before you start from the ground. The astronauts have been there atop the rocket up in their command module, Casper, for a couple hours now. They got a good night's sleep, the traditional breakfast of steak and eggs with Deke Slayton and other astronaut friends. Then they donned their spacesuits. They've been right here in the spacecraft for about 2 hours, checking out all of the switches and instruments, which they will be operating for the next 12 days to the moon and back. Commander John Young, lunar module pilot Charles Duke, and the command module pilot Ken Mattingly, Thomas K., or Ken Mattingly, as he prefers to be called. That's our status at the moment here at Cape Kennedy. We'll be reporting more to you in just a few minutes.
The last three Apollo flights to the moon, Apollo 15, 16, and 17, are in the service of science. Man has proven he can fly to the moon. He's developed the best techniques to do so. These final three Apollo missions have been planned to draw the greatest possible scientific profit from man's ability to explore the moon. Apollo 16 is going to the Descartes Highlands, a site chosen primarily because of its geological significance. Photographs taken from aboard Apollo 14 show the Descartes Highlands are composed of two types of material. For 6 days while in orbit around the moon and for 3 days while working on its surface, the astronauts of Apollo 16 will explore, photograph, and sample their landing site, the Descartes region, conduct scientific experiments on the moon, establish a scientific observatory, measure and phonograph the lunar surface from the orbiting spacecraft. And launch time is just about 20 minutes from now. Weather is beautiful at Cape Kennedy. High temperatures, about 80 degrees. And, of course, they'll be depending on the ever-dependable Saturn V. Astronauts Young, Mattingly, and Duke have full confidence in this vehicle. It's proved its reliability with flying colors on the last 8 Apollo missions. Almost the whole world saw on television at one time or another the slow and then ever-faster liftoff of the towering rocket as it launched men to the moon. Now, the launch of Apollo 16 will be a similar performance in just a few moments from now. Burning for 2.5 minutes, The five rockets of the Saturn V first stage use some 15 tons of liquid oxygen and kerosene per second. They develop more than 3.5 million kilograms of thrust, lifting the 108-meter-tall vehicle as high as 67 kilometers at a speed of 10,000 kilometers an hour to a point way out over the Atlantic Ocean. And about 2.5 minutes into the mission, the Saturn V first stage is jettisoned, and the five engines of the second stage take over. Some of the scientific goals have been described. We'll talk about the Descartes region, chosen from photographs taken during the flight of Apollo 14, by the way. The landing site for this fifth manned mission to the moon is a relatively smooth area on a very high plateau. Apollo 16 astronauts John Young and Charles Duke plan to touch down between two craters, which are lined up roughly in a north-south direction. They're called simply North Ray and South Ray. The word ray refers to the spoke-like white streaks radiating from the craters. And of course, I believe that this is from Complex B, Site 39. I believe they've only used A one time in the Apollo mission, and Complex A at Cape Kennedy is to be used in the future space shuttle flights. So, it's a beautiful day there. The countdown has progressed, as you heard, from VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner. In a very fine manner, one of the best countdowns in the Apollo series, according to the engineers that have reported from down there. And it looks like we're just about to embark on one of the most ambitious moon missions yet. The three-day voyage from Earth to Moon, the spacecraft is to go into lunar orbit on April 19th. That's about 24 hours later when Commander John Young and Lunar Module Pilot Charles Duke will land in the Descartes Highlands. Command Module Pilot Ken Mattingly will remain in orbit around the Moon for 6 days to perform scientific experiments, and he, too, is to do some extra vehicular work outside the command module, which for this mission will be called, incidentally, Jasper. The countdown is proceeding at Cape Kennedy, and we're coming up on launch time in just about 17 minutes from now. And now let's go back to the Kennedy Space Center and VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner.
Continuing to listen to the countdown information coming from the flight control, which is about 200 meters from us here at the Cape. The countdown clock shows 15 minutes and 51 seconds, and the clock is continuing to count. And apparently everything in that gyro system has been repaired. The astronauts are go. We just heard a report from Mission Control a moment ago, the flight control, that everything was go aboard the spacecraft. So the count is continuing. There has been no delay whatever in this countdown. With me is Don Beatty of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Don, what have you seen in this preparation for launch so far? I know you've been working on lunar surface operations primarily, but how has the overall count impressed you?
Well, I haven't seen any problems, especially in the area of the experiment so far, Rhett. We put our last experiment on board on April 6th.
Let's go to launch control.
And counting. Scheduled at this time are some Mission Control Center updates to the computer clock aboard the command module. This is actually synchronizing the spacecraft timing system with that in the Mission Control Center. Also, the command module pilot, Ken Mattingly, has been giving readouts on the service module quadrants. These are giving temperatures, pressures, and fuel quantities. A short time ago, the S2 start tank chill down began. This is chilling that system to prepare it to accept the extremely cold liquid hydrogen. Computer checks are underway also at this time. A check going on is the check of the vehicle digital computer to be sure that it's in the prepare to launch mode. Several of these computer checks are run during the count to ensure proper communications between the computers in the launch control center and the mobile launcher, and also to ensure they're in the correct mode. Countdown continuing now, passing the T-minus 14-minute mark. This is Kennedy Launch Control.
From Launch Control, you're hearing the voice of Chuck Hollingshead. As soon as the rocket lifts off the pad and clears the tower, Then the control will switch to the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, the regular mission control. You'll hear John McLeish as the voice of mission control. You'll also hear the voices of the astronauts themselves coming from on board Apollo 16 as it lifts off. That report from flight control, from the launch control, says that everything is going well. And now, at this moment, let's listen to John Young, the commander, as he described for me a few days ago, before he went out and climbed into this rocket, the purpose of the overall mission and a quick summary. Here is the way we recorded this with John Young, the commander. Okay, we'll have that for you in just a minute here. The liquid oxygen is now billowing off the top of the first stage of the rocket. This is something you can always see on the big Saturn V, the S1C stage, as it's called. That's the 7.5 million pound thrust engines, five of them there. And the top of that tank is pressurized with liquid oxygen, which is super cold, and as it gradually warms, the pressure builds up, and so it has to be boiled off, so to speak. It appears to be white smoke coming out. It's really pure oxygen in vapor form, and it's very white, and we can see it drifting out from right in the middle of the rocket booster. Now let's see if we can play that recording for you, John Young telling us about the overall mission. John, you're going to one of the most interesting possible sites on the moon for the first time, to the highlands or true upland areas of the moon. This is something which has been a bit confusing. You would have thought that the Hadley Rill was highlands area, seeing all of those mountains towering around. That was really a Mare, extension of a Mare plain, wasn't it?
Yes, compared to what you are. And, of course, from in terms of highlands, we're landing on the top of the big mountains, essentially, that you were looking at in the Apollo 15 site. Our site is about 4,500 meters higher than the Apollo 15 site was. And the Apollo 11 site, which is about 300 kilometers northeast of our site, we're about 6,000 meters higher than those guys were when they landed. So the moon is really a place of contrast. We're landing in the equivalent of a place like we might be considered as landing at the top of the Andes Mountains.
Or a great plateau in the Himalayas.
It's a giant plateau, and it's very elevated. And the countryside is about like you'd find on a high mountainous plateau. In our site itself, the slopes, the terrain is hummocky and sloping. And but there are two good mountains. One mountain is two good hills, I should say. One to the south of our landing site, about 2 kilometers south of where we're landing, is 375 meters higher than the landing site. One to the north is about 325 meters higher than we're landing. Now, that's about 4 kilometers north of where we're landing.
How would you describe and summarize the purpose of the overall mission, John?
Well, I like to think of it as a lunar highlands exploration mission. We're going to be going down and getting ground truth at the landing site itself. In the meantime, Ken and the command service module will be flying overhead, and his sensors will be looking at the same data that looking in our landing site will be looking at the same data that we're picking up for ground truth. Ground truth, yes. We should be able to take those rocks and all samples and the geophysical data that we're gathering down in our landing site, and with Ken's data, which encompasses a great deal of the moon because of the ground track and is over a lot of highlands areas, particularly in the backside of the moon, we should be able to take that and extrapolate it to being able to say what this part of the moon and what that part of the moon is really made of. In other words, we'll have cranked back our data in our small landing site into say what a large part of the makeup of the moon really is.
And you're going to be there 3 days with 3 7-hour excursions.
Right, 3 7-hour EVAs. Well, we'll be up there a total of 6 days with Ken's orbits.
Mm-hmm.
Our first EVA, I guess I'll summarize it very shortly. Our first EVA is a deploying the Apollo Lunar Scientific Experiments Package. and offloading the rover, and that activity will take about 4.5 hours. Mm-hmm. Then we'll proceed 1.5 kilometers out due west of our site to a crater called Flag Crater. Now, Flag Crater is about 300 meters across. It's about 40 meters deep, and that will allow us to sample down into the Cayley. You may know the theory of impact craters is that the impact crater leaves the material from the deepest part of the crater right on the rim. We should have no trouble getting to the rim of those craters, and we'll be able to sample from the rim and therefore getting Cayley material, which is the plains of our landing site, is mm-hmm. the Cayley Plains. We'll be able to get that material down to 40 meters.
You get not only the Cayley Plains site, but also some mountainous materials when you sample the mountains.
Right. Uh-huh. We'll be going on the EVA 2. We'll be going the second 7-hour EVA. We'll be going 3.9 kilometers due south, almost, to halfway up Stone Mountain, 160-170 meters up the side of that mountain. In the last half a kilometer, Stone Mountain rises at it's relatively flat right up to the last half kilometer, and it rises at 175 meters. So we'll be going up local slopes, which are probably going to vary from 8 to 15 or maybe even 20 degrees.
That'll be a challenge for the rover then, won't it?
I think it'll be very exciting to see if the rover can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be some real off-the-road driving for us guys in full-pressure suits with a motor vehicle on the moon.
Yeah, and then the third EVA, you sample a...
Third EVA, we go up to a bright raid crater up north, and it's a very spectacular crater. It's equivalent of our meteor crater out in Arizona. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not. But it's about 1,000 meters across, and it's about 200 meters deep. It's a pretty deep crater. Mm-hmm. And the walls are very steep, 45 degrees. We're hoping to be able to get up to the edge of it and look into it with our television and show the viewers back on Earth just how spectacular those bright raid craters are. But by sampling off the rim of North Ray Crater, we'll be obtaining material that's 200 meters deep in the moon. And I think the important thing about that is that we'll actually know where the material came from, because with our photos and everything, we'll be able to almost put the pieces back in place.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, John, for giving us this overall summary of the mission of Apollo 16.
Let's go to Launch Control and Chuck Hollingshead for the latest status of the countdown.
Launch mode. Houston Flight has also indicated that they are go for the automatic sequencer. At the T-minus 3 minutes, 7 second mark, the launch will go on the automatic sequencer, and from that point on, the launch will be automatically handled by the sequencer. Coming up on the T-minus 5 minute and 30 second mark, at that time we'll be standing by for a go to launch from Mission Director Chet Lee. Mission Director verifies go for launch. Mission Director Chet Lee from Houston verifies go for launch. All elements now reporting into Test Supervisor Gordon Turner that they are go for launch. Now T-minus 5 minutes, 13 seconds and counting, this is Kennedy Launch Control.
That means that at 5 minutes, we will start to see some of these access arms begin to swing back away from the spacecraft, the lower ones especially. I believe that the one right up at the top, which is for emergency escape by the astronauts, will be the last to go. As a matter of fact, it will just retract just a few centimeters, and then only after the rocket is lit will that begin to swing out of the way farther. We can see part of those things moving now. In fact, I see a man going across that. Here's launch control.
T-minus 4 minutes, 32 seconds and counting, and swing arm number 9 is now swinging back to the full retract position. The astronaut crew aboard are making their final switch checks, reading off these final positions, preparation for launch. As we approach the final minutes here, we'll go into a relatively silent period as far as reporting goes. The launch team indicates that they will have only negative reporting. If there's a problem only, will they come up on the air at this time? Now, T-minus 4 minutes, 3 seconds and counting. This is Kennedy Launch Control.
Okay, as you have heard confirmed there, these access arms will gradually swing back, especially the lower ones down at each of the rocket stages. This is where technicians check right up as late as possible on the status of systems inside there. They go back down the launch pad.
Paul Donnelly, just called the three astronauts and said that the Apollo 16 launch team wishes them good luck and Godspeed. They all replied, thank you, and we now have a quiet circuit as they switch over to the Astrocom circuit. We're now T-minus 3 minutes, 24 seconds and counting. We're approaching the time when the countdown goes on the terminal sequencer. The sequencer commands a variety of functions, all which must occur in the proper sequence for the count to continue. Also here in the control center, the people will continue to monitor what are called the red line values to ensure that everything is go for launch. The instrument unit light, panel light now on the status board indicates instrument unit ready, spacecraft ready, emergency detection system ready. We've passed the 2 minute 50 second mark and we're now on the terminal sequencer. Terminal sequencer has started. This terminal sequencer will pressurize the fuel tank. These fuel tanks are pressurized to ensure that as the fuels deplete, they are forced down to assure an even flow into the engine. Fuel tanks are now being pressurized. The S4B, or third stage liquid oxygen tank, has just been pressurized, and the second stage liquid oxygen tank has been pressurized. As we move down through the count at the T-minus 17 second mark, we'll get a release of the guidance system in the instrument unit. Also handled by the automatic sequencer will be the release of swing arms number one and number two. The ignition of the Saturn V five engines, the first stage five engines, will take place at 8.9 seconds in the countdown, 8.9 seconds. The vehicle will then be held down until we build up to 7.7 million pounds of thrust. At the T-minus 3 minute mark, tape recorders on board the spacecraft were turned on. These recorders record both voice and data. Spacecraft now to full internal cooling. The cooling load has been shared with a ground cooling. T-minus 90 seconds and counting. T-minus 90 seconds and counting. At T-minus 1 minute 15 seconds, the spacecraft batteries will be turned on for launch. These batteries will give an additional power source to the spacecraft, as well as be acting as a backup for the fuel cells. The third stage liquid hydrogen tanks now pressurized. All third stage tanks pressurized. Second stage tanks also pressurized. T-minus 1 minute. T-minus 1 minute and counting. Now moving into the final minute of the count. We'll be standing by for the switch over to internal power. Switch over taking place at this time, going on internal power. T-minus 45 seconds and counting. Guidance aligned, just announced by John Young. That will be the last action taken by the crew aboard the spacecraft. T-minus 35 and counting. Countdown continuing to go well. T-minus 30. T-minus 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17. Guidance release. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. The engine's now building up to 7.7 million pounds of thrust. We have a launch commit and we have a liftoff. The swing arms moving back. The Saturn V lifting off the pad, building up thrust. We cleared the tower. It's lifting off. Cleared the tower. Yeah. Now Houston takes over.
Houston is now controlling.
Oh, you have good thrust in all five.
Roger.
Pitch and roll program started.
A beautiful launch. It
Roger.
Looks beautiful so far. Really burning brightly.
Bumper flight path attitude. Mark 27 seconds.
Perfect for a big Saturn V. Couldn't be better.
36 seconds. Roll program completed. Pitch profile.
Right through a cloud.
40 seconds.
Right through a big cloud. Here comes the maximum noise. It's really going. 1 minute.
That call out from Capcom Gordon Fullerton says Apollo 16 now capable of water landing. Mark 1 minute 12 seconds coming up on period of maximum aerodynamic pressure on the vehicle.
Picking up speed, moving toward the speed of sound now.
beginning to bend
over
to the east.
22 seconds, 6 nautical miles in altitude, looking good.
Getting up into the stratosphere, leaving a big contrail of smoke
seconds,
and steam.
8 nautical miles in altitude.
We're beginning to see a long, white, curving stream of smoke behind it now as it curves out over the ocean. Burning beautifully, the Saturn V performing right according
seconds.
To plan.
Pass through Max-Q, still looking good.
Pass through Max-Q.
Max-Q is maximum pressure.
16 now, 12.5 nautical miles in altitude. Young Duke Mattingly moving out to the outer traces of the Earth's atmosphere.
Stand by for mode 1, Charlie.
Roger, we're
Mark 1, Charlie.
That's a one type of abort system, mode 1, Charlie. We're going to be
Mark
able to see it forever.
3 seconds, a status check in mission control by Flight Director Gene Kranz. A go, no go for staging. Coming up on center engine shutdown.
It's so clear we're going to be able to see it. We're going to be able to see staging. Coming up
center
any moment now.
Center engine shutdown on time.
Center engine has shut down.
2 minutes, 28 seconds, 26 nautical miles in altitude, 32 nautical miles downrange.
240, we should get the outboard engine shut off.
Seconds.
We'll see that any second now.
2 minutes, 40 seconds, coming up on staging.
They're shut down. The outboard engine shut down. The second stage lighted, and off it goes.
Ignition on the S2.
Roger.
Ignition on the S2. That was John Young, I believe.
2 minutes,
reporting
53
that.
Seconds.
We can still
normal
see it.
Normal staging. Young Duke Mattingly now riding on 5 good second stage engines.
Go on all 5 on the S2.
Go on all 5 on the
Three
S2
minutes,
second
seconds,
stage.
The giant first stage falling away now. It's day's work completed. Apollo 16 now, 46 nautical miles in altitude, 80 nautical miles downrange.
We can still
coming
see
up on
the Kurt tiny specs.
And, tower jettison.
I don't believe we've ever seen one as long or as far away as we can see this today. It's so clear here at Cape Kennedy.
Roger, and we confirm your skirt's up. You're mode 2 now.
Roger, mode 2.
We can still see
Three
the sun shining
seconds.
Off of the bright white booster.
The launch escape tower is ejected on time. It's a surveillance role no longer required.
It's amazing how far we can see this one today.
CMC is go.
Roger.
It's really moving out
Mark,
there.
3 minutes,
well past the speed
seconds.
Of sound, going up towards some 15,000
miles,
miles
in altitude, 135 nautical miles downrange. Apollo 16 now 33 feet shorter and 9,000 pounds lighter. Unencumbered now for its mission in space.
That report from Mission Control.
4 minutes, everything looks great down
4
here.
Minutes, 3
I
seconds. I can
too.
Still see a tiny speck there.
You ought to see that horizon. Just gorgeous.
That's John
Mark,
Young.
4 minutes, 10 seconds.
John says you ought to see that horizon. It's just
altitude,
gorgeous.
170 nautical miles downrange. Velocity now reading 10,600 feet per second.
It's about disappeared from our view now, and I don't believe we've ever had such clear weather. Out on the launch pad, thousands and thousands of liters of water are pouring out to cool down.
Mark, 4 minutes, 30 seconds in mission control. Trajectory data driving right down the middle of our plot boards as expected. Right now, flight path data is go.
Everything is go. We could see that rocket for 4 minutes and 5 seconds if my observations were correct.
Mark, 4 minutes, 45 seconds, 76 nautical miles in altitude, 220 nautical miles downrange.
Depending upon how good one's eyes are, we could see it for over 4 minutes. It takes about until 9 minutes and 17 seconds, another 4 minutes for the second stage to burn.
Mark, 5 minutes, 10 seconds. Still good performance on all 5 second stage engines.
Takes 11 minutes, 54 seconds to go into orbit, as you heard from Mission Control, 522 now after
second
liftoff.
Second stage shutdown predicted at 9 minutes, 19 seconds.
16 Houston, times are nominal. Level sets will be 8 plus 3, 7, and cutoff at 9er plus 1 9er.
There's an update on the cutoff time, 9 minutes, 19 seconds after liftoff.
Mark, 5 minutes, 40 seconds. Another status check in Mission Control by Flight Director Gene Kranz. His console is coming up all green, so looking good at this time.
At by the time...
for S4B, the COI capability. Mark, you have it now.
The spacecraft is now moving some 5,000...
Coming 5, up on 6 000... minutes with Capcom Gordon Fullerton reporting that 16 capable of reaching a minimum orbit with a good third stage in service module engines. We're at 6 minutes, 8 seconds... Apollo 16, 88 nautical miles in altitude, 380 nautical miles downrange.
Moving about 5,000 meters per second now. That's fast. 5,000 meters per second. By the time the second stage shuts off, it'll be moving 6,500.
6 minutes, 30 seconds. Velocity now reading 14,880 feet per second. Altitude 90 nautical miles for Apollo 16. Downrange distance 440 nautical miles.
Stand by for S-4B to orbit.
This means...
Mark, you have it now.
Roger.
Now the third stage is capable of putting the spacecraft into orbit.
6 minutes, 50 seconds.
Delta 40.
Roger, Charlie.
Young Duke Mattingly now told that they can reach orbit if given a good third stage. Mark, 7 minutes, 91 nautical miles in altitude, 496 nautical miles downrange. Mark, 7 minutes, 15 seconds, 16, flying almost parallel over the ocean now with the young crew in a pitched down position. Really moving out now for downrange distance. We show Apollo 16, 551 nautical miles downrange. Velocity now reading 17,527 feet per second.
That's over 5,000 meters per second now.
Coming up on center engine shutdown.
Center engine right, shutdown on the second stage. Here it goes.
Center engine shutdown on time. 7 minutes, 50 seconds. 92 nautical miles in altitude, 620 nautical miles downrange.
It'll be going 6,568 meters per second by the time that...
Showing stable thrust on the other four engines. They've got about a minute to go in burn time remaining.
All right, that's when the second stage shuts down.
Looking good here.
It'll get up to some over 7,000 meters per second speed before it's in orbit. Everything looks good here, said John Young.
Mark, 8 minutes, 25 seconds.
See, in Houston, we saw the PU shift. Thus looks good. And your go for staging.
The rest of the engines on this second stage will shut down in about 45 seconds.
8 minutes, 35 seconds. Apollo 16, now 93 nautical miles in altitude, 756 nautical miles downrange.
What's that time now?
Roger.
That's
first response from Apollo 16 Commander John Young. We're at 8 minutes, 52 seconds. Apollo 16 now 807 nautical miles downrange, 92 nautical miles in altitude. Velocity now reading 21,642 feet per second.
That's up to that over 6,500 feet per second. This is a hot one, a little hotter than in earlier flight planning. Should have shutdown
stand
right now.
Stand by for mode 4 capability.
Here should be
Mark,
S2 shutdown.
Mark, you have mode 4 now.
Okay, there was S2 shutdown.
There it was.
And we have S4B ignition.
That's John Young. S4B ignition.
Mark, in a minute, 30 seconds.
This is good on the S4B.
Roger.
The young crew has used up two-thirds of their Saturn stages on the way to orbit. We see good performance on the third stage, the S4B. That Mode 4 report says Apollo 16 can achieve orbit on spacecraft power only. 9 minutes, 50 seconds. Apollo 16, 93 nautical miles in altitude, 1,011 nautical miles downrange. Velocity now reading at 23,654 feet per second.
That's over 6,500 meters per second. I'm giving you this very roughly here. As the S4B, or third stage, begins to push the big spacecraft combination.
Mark, 10 minutes, 18 seconds. A status check in mission control for orbit.
Another minute and 20 seconds to go before going into orbit.
Apollo 16, Houston, your go for orbit. Predicted cutoff 1-1 plus 4-9er.
Roger, 1-49.
It's going to reach its speed a little early. This is a hot rocket, isn't
Mark,
it?
Mark, 10 minutes, 40 seconds. A predicted time of shutdown, 11 minutes, 49 seconds. Apollo 16, 93 nautical miles in altitude, 1,192 nautical miles downrange.
It's going to shut down about 5 seconds early because the rockets are burning a little hotter than the nominal timeline calls for. In other words, even better than expected.
Mark, 11 minutes, showing a buildup in velocity now reading 24,621 feet per second and accelerating.
Going up to 7,400 meters per
second. Mark, 11 minutes, 10 seconds.
For orbit. Shut down in about another 30 seconds from now. 11 minutes, 49
seconds.
Velocity now
reading 24,887 feet per second. 98% of the desired speed for insertion into orbit. Less than 20 seconds now from time of shutdown.
About another 10 seconds until shutdown.
Mark, 11 minutes, 40 seconds. Apollo 16 now 1,400 nautical miles downrange.
Zico.
There he was. Sustainer engine cutoff. Zico, said John Young. That's a...
That was shut down right on the money.
Pitch one is coming off.
Roger.
The voice you hear from space is of the commander, John Young, during the launch phase. Later, he will turn the command module over to Ken Mattingly, and then he and Charlie Duke will spend most of their time working with the lunar module, Orion. The command module
Mark,
is called
Kepler. 12 minutes, 25 seconds.
Houston, their range safety system is safe. The orbit is go.
The orbit is go.
Roger, boy, it's just beautiful up here. Looking out the window, it's just really fantastic.
That's John
that
Young.
That thing worked like a champ.
He says that
sure
thing
did.
Worked like a champ.
And
it really was.
Now 62, and your orbit by radar is 95 by 90.
Mark, 12 minutes, 54 seconds. That enthusiastic report from orbit was from spacecraft commander John Young. Apollo 16 in what appears to be a safe orbit. Preliminary numbers show a 95 nautical miles by 90 nautical miles. The Saturn V, once again, an apparent victor in its tug-of-war struggle with the Earth's forces of gravity. We're at 13 minutes, 20 seconds ground elapsed time, and Apollo 16 is in orbit.
Well, there it is, the launch of Apollo 16 in a really hot rocket that put them into orbit 5 seconds ahead of schedule, lifting the vehicle weight as it went into orbit was some 140,000 kilograms. 140,000 kilograms of spacecraft and rocket equipment into orbit.
Take it for orbit.
That's spacecraft communicator. I believe that's Tony England telling them the booster looks good, configured for orbit. Now, Young, Mattingly, and Duke will go around the Earth 1.5 times, and in about 2.5 hours from now, while down over the South Pacific, over Australia, they will fire that third stage rocket engine again and blast on toward the moon. And that will be what will be called translunar insertion, translunar injection. And that after that will be a 3-day coasting period as they move toward the moon.
16 Houston, the Z torque and angle will be plus 0.06. Over.
Roger, plus 0.06.
Spacecraft communicator talking to John Young, giving them some gyro angles for setting into their guidance and control system. So, Apollo...
Okay, Gordy, we're on page 211 down through. We're getting to installing the COAS. That MA was the transducer, ECS.
That's John Young saying we're down, getting ready to install the COAS. That's Gordon... Don Beatty corrects me. Don, I think you say that's Gordon Fullerton on the Capcom out there. I misunderstood his voice. Okay, what's the condition of the limb at this point, Don Beatty, who's much concerned with everything aboard the limb because of the lunar surface operations with which you've been working?
Well, the limb right now is, of course, inside the slaw, waiting for separation of the command module and service module, which John Young and Ken Mattingly will turn around and come back in and dock with the limb and extract it out of the slaw.
That will come along after they've burned toward the moon, after they're on the way to the moon.
That's right, on the way
slaw,
to the moon.
The spacecraft limb adapter. That's a big connecting mechanism that holds the lunar module safely down in the top of the rocket behind the command and service module.
On top of the S4 stage.
Yes. Okay, then what will the astronauts be doing during that 3-day coast? They do go into the limb and check it out, don't they?
Yes, there's a complete check down.
Here's a call to Apollo 16. Let's listen. I don't guess they heard that call. Let's see what happens here. He'll call again in a second.
Well, on the way to the moon, Rhett, they will be checking out all of the LEM systems and ensuring that everything on board the LEM is in good condition and waiting to get then into lunar orbit when they'll finally get back into the LEM for their descent.
And then, of course, the landing will come on Thursday, and then we'll have the first EVA. Let's see, wait a minute. The end of lunar orbit on Wednesday, landing on Thursday, then EVAs on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, United States time.
And final liftoff then on Sunday.
Okay, you're going to be in Houston, aren't you, Don?
That's right, Red.
Okay, we may ask you to give us some occasional reports on the status of
Apollo
those EVAs. Here's a call to Apollo 16.
Okay, we're noticing a possible blockage in the primary coolant loop. You have John check the glycol reservoir bypass valve to be sure it's open?
Roger.
Talking about a faulty readout in a coolant circuit. Let's see what they find out about this. That call from Gordon Fullerton. A call from Mission Control, watching the spacecraft systems through telemetry coming back to Earth. The spacecraft has now moved into the range of the Canary Islands tracking station, and communications is now going through the Canary Islands. And from there, they'll move on across Africa. I think we may pick up a tracking station in Madrid, Spain. Then, it'll be out of communication for a while. Then Carnarvon, Australia, from down under, we'll pick them up. In about 40 minutes from now, they should come within range of Carnarvon as they're going around down across Africa. And then across the South Pacific, Australia, an Araya aircraft, as it's called, will pick them up over the Pacific Ocean, and they'll come back into contact with... There was a call saying they want us to put the radiators on. They're going to be checking out this coolant system. That was Ken Mattingly, we believe, who made that call, since he is watching the command module systems from the right seat.
Whatever you just did up there got the coolant loop flow back. We'd like to watch it for a minute before proceeding, over.
Okay, so they're on their way and beginning to watch all of the systems on board the spacecraft. It doesn't look like anything is too serious on this coolant loop. They're going to continue monitoring it as they go on around the Earth for 1.5 orbits and then blast off toward the moon. That's all from here at Cape Kennedy. Thanks to Don Beatty of NASA for being with us. And this is Rhett Turner.
We come to the end of the first live broadcast in our coverage of the flight of Apollo 16, man's fifth visit to the lunar surface. The spacecraft and its crew left the launch pad at Cape Kennedy at 17 hours 54 GMT and is now in a safe Earth parking orbit, some 20 minutes into the mission. Slightly over 2 hours from now, a go, no-go decision on translunar insertion will be made. A decision whether or not to fire the rocket engine that will push Apollo 16 out of the pull of Earth's gravity and on its way to the moon. The Voice of America's next worldwide broadcast will come on Thursday, April 20th, at 20 hours 15 GMT, when the lunar lander separates from the command module to touch down in the Descartes area of the moon. The Voice of America will bring you live coverage of the main events of Apollo 16 and progress reports on our regular broadcasts. Our thanks to Don Beatty of NASA and VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner, Cape Kennedy. This is Norman Garron in the Apollo News Center in Washington. This program has come to you from the United States of America.